All right. Anyway, I'd like to look at this word building or buildings, I'll just pronounce it the way it looks, oikodome, which is the Greek word, and it's used 18 times in the Bible, and God uses it in a very specific way, with the exception of a couple of verses. For instance, in Mark, we read of Christ speaking about physical buildings. And also we read about it in Matthew 24, where God is speaking about specific buildings, a building of stone construction. But even that, in the fact that it was a stone construction, is an interesting picture, because it brings us back to identifying to people. This word always identifies, and all the time, without any failure, identifies with the body of Christ. And we'll look at a few verses here. Well, matter of fact, we're going to do an exhaustive study on this, the word buildings, or the word oikodome in the Greek. We read in Mark chapter 13, verse 1, and as he went out of the temple, that is Christ, went out of the temple, so he departed out, he left them desolate. We read about that in Matthew 23, I think. He went out of the temple. One of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. Now, of course, he was particularly focusing in on the buildings down off of the mountain or off of the hill here. But it's interesting language. The word stones is in view, and this word oikodome, or word buildings, are here. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. This same verse or idea we read about in Matthew chapter 24. And it's interesting, the response of the disciples. And this is very key to understanding the meaning of what's going on concerning the Great Tribulation and the ends of the world. So let's look at this again. Matthew 24 now, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. Let's go back a few verses, because this is very important. People get very upset about this end of the earth end of the church age, and they get very upset at the fact that we preach and teach that it's time to, we have to depart out, come out of her, my people, and we identify all those verses with the corporate church as if it's some strange thing to the Bible. This isn't the first time that God has left the corporate body desolate. He'd done this before at the end of his ministry, just as he'd done it again at the end of his ministry through the body of Christ concerning his ministry using the church age. He is now preaching the gospel through the body of creatures, body of Christ, to all the world, to all creatures. But in Matthew 23, verse 37, we read, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, this is the Lord talking to the corporate church, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killeth the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth the chickens under her wings, and you would not. Listen what the Lord says. Behold, your house, your corporate body, the nation of Israel, the place where the body of Christ dwelt, the place where the Lord had prepared so that the oracles of God would be found. Behold, your house, the house of Israel, as a nation, is left unto you desolate. The spiritual body of Israel is being removed from that house. It is a dead house. It is a dead carcass. It is a dead body. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. So, it's not the first time that the body of Christ has been departed out of the temple. This is the second time. So Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came unto him to show him the buildings of the temple. This word building again is the word oikodome, in the Greek. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Truly I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now listen what happened after the Lord said that. The disciples spoke about physical buildings, physical stones. The Lord took this into another direction. And this is, of course, is not the first time that the Lord speaks like this to disciples. He told them, without a parable spake he not. They understood Jesus was speaking of a parable. Just as he began in his teachings to the disciples, beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees. And they reasoned among themselves, you know, is it because we brought no bread, and so on and so forth. And the Lord clearly put it out, when I speak concerning these things, he's speaking about the doctrines of the scribes and the Pharisees. That's what he means when he speaks about, the leaven. And so God has given us a picture, a spiritual picture of words as he speaks. And he speaks clearly to them now through parables. And they responded. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privily, saying, tell us. They understood he was talking about a parable. And he was talking about the end of the world, a destruction. And he said, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming? And the end of the world. Those are the questions. When shall these things be? What is going to be the sign? And when is going to be the end of the world? And then Jesus answers that. And this answer goes all the way into Acts, because in Acts chapter 1, he speaks about it being hidden in his word, and that we would receive it in the due season, in the proper season. It's not for you to know until after A, B, C, and D happens. And one of those things is Pentecost. Let's just jump forward real quickly to that. Well, let me finish these verses, and we'll jump real quickly to Acts, and then we'll go back into this word, Okedom. He sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privily, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of that coming? The end of the world. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And so many are coming telling us that they are the body of Christ, that they're bringing the word of God. You know, when someone says, thus saith the Lord, they're claiming to be Christ. Because, you see, the Lord has commanded us, the woman, the Jerusalem above, the body of Christ, the bride, he has commanded us to be silent in the church. And so it's not us who is speaking, but the elder. It is Christ himself who is speaking through the body of Christ, through and by the preaching of the word of God, as we are led by the Holy Spirit. So it is Christ who is bringing the message. We are just his vessels. We are his workmanship. And so therefore, when a group of people come and say, thus saith the Lord, they are claiming to be Christ. They're claiming to bring the message of God. And the Lord says, you know, I haven't sent them. And in the last day, he's going to tell them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. I've never dwelt in your hearts. You haven't been born again. You just claim to be Christian. You claim to be of Christ. And that's the picture. That's the setting of the stage of the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation is false Christ and false prophets. Many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And he goes on and gives us much information. And he picks it up in Acts chapter 1. And I know we've looked at this many times, and these are very interesting verses. We read in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, where the question continues. And being assembled together with them, because now, you know, he has departed from the temple. He's left them desolate. He went to the cross. He went to the grave. He arose on Sunday morning, 3 days after, and now we have this picture in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with the Holy Ghost and not many days. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now, Pentecost hasn't taken place yet, and the Lord is still dwelling among them. He's risen from the grave, and he's still dwelling among them in a physical sense. And he hasn't, you know, on Pentecost, he then ascends up unto the Father and is seated at the right hand, and he is taken up in a cloud, we read. But here is the question again. Is now the time? Is this it? Is this the end of the world? Is this the time? You know? And the Lord says in verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times and the or the season, which the Father hath put in his own power. So, it's not for them to know it. And God has put it into his own power. This word power is identifying directly with the word of God. It is his strength, his authority. His word is his strength. His word is authority. Christ is the word. He is the right hand of God. He sits at the right hand of God. So he has put it in Christ. He has put it in the word. He has put it into his power. But then he gives us some more information. People, you know, who are in opposition to some of these things that we teach here, because they read the Bible haphazardly, they stop there. They don't go any further. It's not for you to know the times and the season. You can't know it. The Father is put in his own power. They don't understand the word power. But the next verse is very revealing. But, you see, there's an exception to this rule. But ye shall receive power. After, he tells us when we're going to receive it. We're going to receive word. Again, this word power, which is a different Greek word. But it also is a word that identifies with word of God. It is the word dunamis, and many of us is familiar with that word, the word dunamis. It is his strength, it is his power, and it brings us to Christ, who is the strength. He is our buckler, he is the power of God, he is the right hand of God. They identify with the same thing. But ye shall receive dunamis, you shall receive word, after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's Pentecost. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea. That identifies with the corporate churches. And in Samaria, going out into the world to preach the gospel, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's where we're at now, at the end of the world, in that little season, the time period understood as the second part of the Great Tribulation, the half hour. And that's when we'll receive word. That's when we'll receive power. And so we would expect that we should know pretty closely to when the end of the world might be. But in any event, again, it is hidden in his word. And going back now to the word building, which is really the focus of this study, and the buildings is really identifying ultimately with the physical buildings identifying with the corporate church, but the spiritual building, these stones are identifying with the spiritual body. It's identifying with Jerusalem above versus Jerusalem below. In Romans chapter 14, we read in verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. This word edify is the very same word as the word building. It's okudom, to edify, to build up one another. And so this word again is identifying with the body of Christ. It is identifying with the building up of the body of Christ. Let me just go back real quick to, there was one other point I might want to have brought out in Matthew 24. When he reveals these things, in this place, in verse 2 of Matthew 24, the Lord says, and Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Truly I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. That wasn't the verse. Let me see. It may have been a mark. There is a focus in this place. And I'm not seeing it here. Maybe it is the verse in Mark chapter 13. All right, I don't find it right now. Maybe if I find it before the end of the study, I'll bring it up. But there is a focus in this place, and that is really focusing in in the corporate church, particularly, is the focus, that there'll be not left one stone upon another that will not be cast down. And the casting down of that stone, of those stones, ultimately is a picture of the gospel not going forward, us not building upon the truth line upon line, precept upon precept, as God sends the preachers and teachers into the corporate churches. There comes a time when there is silence in heaven. And that is the picture that is there. The heavens are identifying with the place where the gospel is preached, being preached above the earth, which is identifying with the corporate church. But going back to the word okidome, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Ye are God's okidome. Ye are the that which God has built up. 1 Corinthians 14:3, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, word edification, okidome, speaketh unto men to okidome, and exhortation and comfort, again, to build up, to edify. That's what this word is always focusing in on. 1 Corinthians 14:5, I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the churches may receive okidome, or edification, or edifying, or to be built up. 1 Corinthians 14:12, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the okidome of the church, the building up of the church, the edifying of the church. And that's what the focus of that word is about, the buildings, and that Christ turned it around. And they understood very clearly that God was speaking of another building, a building and a city and a temple made without hands. That's the focus. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8, for though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification, for okidome, and not of your, not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. Therefore, the word was given for the edification, for the building up of the body of Christ, for the okidome, the construction of the body of the temple. You know, the Lord speaks about adding to his church, true church of God, daily such as should be saved. And so God is building up. He's edifying. He's okidoming. 2 Corinthians 13:10. Therefore I write these things, being absent, least being present, I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me, to okidome, and not to destruction. Again, the same picture. That might have been the verse I just read. 2 Ephesians chapter 2:19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the okidome, fitly built, framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The body of Christ is where you find the preaching of the true gospel, because it is Christ within us declaring it into the heart and bringeth forth out of the mouth. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the okidome of the body of Christ, the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. And that is the body of Christ. It is he who is perfect, and we are his flesh and his bone, as the Bible teaches us. To the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about of every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. The whole body of Christ works together to supply to every joint his word, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the oikodom of itself in love, unto the edifying, the building up of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, we have to have the mind of God, the mind of Christ. It's all focusing in on the Word, dwelling richly within us. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting, and of course that's where we dwell with Christ in our heart. Ultimately, it is Christ who is the new man, but we too, we receive our resurrected souls and our soul existence and our focus towards the preaching and teaching of the gospel and the desiring of spiritual things and understanding the things of God. We have become a new creature in Christ in our soul existence. We have received the Holy Spirit of God, Christ within us. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We are part of the same body. Be not angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And this is focusing on what's going on in the heart. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. And if the real stealing is the leading people to a different direction, to another Jesus, that's the real stealing. That's the real robbery. Give no place to the devil. We had the devil dwelling in our hearts before we became born again, before we had the day star dwelling in our hearts, before the Holy Spirit came within us, before the right spirit was given, the day star risen in our hearts. And until then, we had the devil dwelling there. We had darkness dwelling there. We had the things of the world dwelling there. Our direction was towards destruction and not harmony with God. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of oikodom, edifying, building up, that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And that's how we construct, and of course it is Christ within us. He is the chief master builder. He is the one constructing by the preaching of the word. It is his word that he has put into our hearts, and therefore into our minds, that the construction of the true temple of God, the dwelling place of God, would take form. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiven one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for the sweet-smelling savor. So, this word okidom, this word building, is always focusing in on the construction of the body of Christ, the building up, the edifying through the preaching of the Word of God. Okay, I found that verse I was searching for, and this is very, very key in Matthew 24, verse 2. And I was looking for the wrong words, but it is the word left here. And the word particularly, the word here, is the word hodi. And it means this place, and this place only, specifically. Let's look at this. Matthew 24, verse 2, "And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Truly I say unto you, there shall not be left here." That word here is the word hodi. It is the word hither. It is the word in this place. There shall not be left in this place. God is being very specific. One stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And that place is focusing in on the corporate body, the corporate church, the buildings of the temple that they were referring back to as they asked them the question in verse 1, as Jesus went and departed out of the temple, his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And so he responded concerning that, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privily, saying, Tell us when shall these things be?" So there'll be a destruction there. There'll be no, and if there's no stone one upon another, there is no construction of the Word of God. There is no okidom in the way that God is really focusing in on its meaning. In the corporate church, there'll be at some point no time when the body of Christ will be edified, when it'll be built up. There'll not be put one stone upon another, and we put one stone upon another, and of course it's the Lord, the Master Builder within us, leading us and teaching us and delivering through our mouths the Word of God, and therefore it's His voice and not ours. It is Him trumpeting the Word through us, and so therefore, since that's not taking place in the corporate body at some point in time, then therefore there'll be no building, there'll be no construction, there'll be no edification, there'll be no building up. In that place, here, in this place. But outside of it, the gospel will continue to go forward, and we have seen that. And we have come to that time, as we know, we've been teaching, we've come to that time, the time of the abomination of desolation, as spoken by the prophet Daniel. When you see this, you're to flee to the mountains. Come out of her, my people. Be not partners with her. And so on. So, all right, I'm going to end it there. If anybody has any corrections or any comments or anything maybe to build upon these things, feel free to pick up the mic, or any other questions or comments on any subject matter, feel free to pick up the mic or raise your hand.